Father, we just thank you that we're able to come here and fellowship with one another. And we ask, Lord, that you show us the way to your blessing and the way to all your provisions, Lord, the way to pleasing you. We need to please you, Father. We need to get rid of this old carnal self. Help us to get rid of that, Lord. Get rid of this old self life, Lord. And we thank you for helping us to do that, Lord. We thank you for you doing it, because we can't do it. We've been trying, 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 Lord. We know that you can take it away and that you are taking it away, because we believe by faith that you're taking this old carnal, stupid self life away from us, Lord, that we're learning to walk by the Spirit. We're learning to walk each step every day by the Spirit, Father. And we praise you for the work you're doing in us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in every one of us. And we ask that you continue that work until you get us perfected like Jesus, Lord, that we're walking in the steps of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord. Bless us tonight with good testimonies, good praise reports. And Father, we thank you for answering all of our prayers. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Then there was silence. How many of you want to quit walking that carnal life? When you're walking in that carnal life, you're walking in a life that's unfaithful to God. You're walking for the devil. When you're walking carnal, you're walking in the carnal self life, you're walking for the devil. When you're walking in the spiritual life, you're walking for Jesus. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in there. That was free. Didn't cost you a nickel. Got to find me something to write with. Okay. Anybody need anything prayed for? How about a testimony or a praise report? What's the date today? This is the 11th. Okay, Jackie, go ahead, girl.
Amen. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to pray for my sister-in-law, please. My sister-in-law, is being attacked by, she's only saved by faith. I'm believing for her. She's being attacked by many different things, and, she's really having a hard time. So I just want to lift her up. Father, that, you've given me the household salvation for my sister-in-law, and, I praise you for that. And I just ask, Lord, that you draw her. I bind up spirits of confusion and lust and just a midlife crisis, emotional issues, spirits of abandonment, spirits of rejection. And I just ask, Lord, that you comfort her heart. I ask that you continue to draw her back to her husband. I ask that you purify her, Lord, in the process as you deliver her, save her, and that you just give her strength, keep her, Lord. I ask that you remove these bad influences in her life. Take these women that are into sin out of her path, Lord, and just fill her path with some godly people. Just put a good sister in her life down there, Lord. And I just ask that you continue to give my brother grace and strength and perseverance to endure this trial. He's trying for your glory and still coming against the devil in every way, Lord. But it's hard and he's grown weary. And I just ask that you protect them, that you protect their children. I ask that you fill their home with love and with joy again and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a mighty work there.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Hey, Judy. You see who showed up there, don't you? Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael. I have a praise report.
All right.
This weekend was our 50th wedding anniversary, and I'd just like to praise and thank the Lord for our 50 years and thank Him for my wife and for our family and for the being with us through the hard times as well as the good, and just for where He's brought us from and where He's taking us to. Just praise and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 50 years. My goodness. God, I thought I'd been married a long time. That's
awesome.
I'd like
to thank the Lord for my husband. I'm just going to add to that a little
Amen.
Bit. Just thank Him for just a faithful and a godly husband, and just that the work that He's done in us, because we know that this is not from us, it's from Him, and it's an awesome gift. And I just thank Him that He took us both out of that denominational setting at the same time, and gave us the grace to receive His truth, and just thank Him and praise Him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that for all of us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just ask that you see fit to let us all be married that long. In Jesus' name. Well, most of us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. Amen. That's great. That's awesome. Let's see. That makes you. Y'all got married in 67, right? Yep, that's right. Amen. 50 years. Yeah, it'd be 67. All right, anybody else? Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report or a testimony? All right, now.
Hey, guys. Praise God.
Hey, Tracy, come on.
How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm praising God. It's amazing.
Awesome.
What are you calling for, praise reports?
Anything you got, praise report, prayer, testimony, whatever.
Amen. You know, I got it all. Let's see. I like to brag about God, you know. He's awesome. Well, let's see. This happened today. There was a brother praying for another sister on Zoom, and she was getting some deliverance, and she was in her 70s. I thought that was pretty cool. But she was getting prayed for, and another girl came in to help with the deliverance. I was just at work agreeing, you know, and she came in to help with the deliverance, and the other girl that was helping on Zoom, her sister in the background started getting deliverance, and you know, repented and stuff too. So anyways, everybody got some deliverance, and the Lord's awesome, and He set people free. Praise God.
Yeah, I love it when God does that. Amen.
Isn't that cool?
That is so cool. Thank you, Father.
Praise God.
Yeah. Okay, Judy, go ahead, girl.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, girl.
Well, I just want to praise the Lord for this afternoon, because Patty and Shalon and I got to go see Joe and Dolores, you know, who Philip was talking about last night. And it was such a fun meeting, and we were having such a good time. And so I just praise the Lord for that fellowship. And I just want to bring Joe and Dolores and Joe Jr. up in prayer and ask the Lord to keep them safe and keep Joe and Dolores safe in their travels. They go back and forth, and they're thinking about transferring Joe Jr. to another hospital to help with his memory and different things. And we're praying that he gets transferred to Virginia instead of Illinois hospital, because it'll be closer for them to travel. So Lord, we're asking you that he gets transferred to this hospital in Virginia, and we just thank you for the great afternoon that we had in fellowship. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Where do they live at, Judy?
In that house where I lived before I...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Downtown there, mm-hmm. Between the real estate office and the car, what was that car
place? You're right behind O'Reilly's.
Yeah, O'Reilly's, yeah.
If
Okay.
Cute house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I was supposed to stay there and save it for them because they were in a mobile home that the furnace went out and they almost had a fire in there and they didn't have any heat and it was just the perfect time that they needed to get out. And I really, I don't know, you know, I just didn't feel like that was my place.
Yeah.
And I just think I was saving it for them.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, that's good. Did you invite him over?
Yeah, I invited him, but they have to go every weekend to see their
son.
But once, sometime they're going to come. Impressed with Philip so much. When he found out that he was the music thing of our UVM minister, he just about flipped out.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, thank you. That's a good testimony. Missy, this is some people that Philip sold the van to, the little Toyota van to. That's who she's talking about. And Philip got to meet them. And that's the people that took over the house when Judy left out of that house over there behind O'Reilly's. Remember when she was in that little white house? Yeah. All right. Praise God. I know that's kind of Greek to everybody else, but that's okay. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Judy, do you have that picture of me and David in the new chairs?
Yeah. I got it on my camera. You want the one laying back or sitting up?
Well, don't have the one laying back. I look terrible in that one. I'm probably snoozing.
Well, I can show you both.
Okay.
There's the one laying back.
You got to throw it up there so we can see it. You took it up there and shut it right back down. Come on, girl.
Oh, okay, sorry. Well, there is of you guys sitting. Is that better one?
Yeah, that's better. All right. David's waving. I'm just grinning. Okay, there it is, Missy.
I sent it to you, Missy. Did you get it? I sent it on your text. I sent it to your text. I'll send it to your email.
All right. Anybody else? Got a praise report. They're very comfortable, too. What happened, y'all, is that one of the ladies got a word from the Lord to buy us a chair. And Missy took the ball and ran with it and got us those things and told us where to go to look and pick them out. So Dave and I went down there and picked them out and got them back. They had them bring them over to the house, and we've been kicked back ever since. David, when I first sat down in that chair the other day, what day was that, Saturday? I believe it was Saturday. I came back from a party we went to, a get-together we went to, and I sat down, and that thing just lay straight flat, just like it right there. And I kicked back in that thing. David said it wasn't 30 seconds. I was out like a light, man. I snoozed in that thing for a while. Praise God. All right. God's good. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? That's a testimony. That's a praise report. We had some chairs, but they were old and kind of funky. But, yeah. But we enjoyed them while we had them. You know, it don't take a whole lot for us. But we're so glad we got them things. They're lazy boys. All right. Anybody else? Well, Merle, Missy got a praise report about going up to Pennsylvania and not having any problems, or did you have problems? I ain't gonna accept that just a shaking of the head. Now, come on. I can't hear a word you're saying. You got to unmute. Well, now
okay,
you video. I can hear you, but I can't see. Yeah, there you are. Okay.
We had no problems. It was went pretty smooth.
Yeah. The only problem was it took so long.
how long did it take you?
10.5 hours.
Oh, well, that's what you said, you know, before you left. You said it'd probably take us 10.5 hours to get home. And there you go.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jackie, Merle wanted to go up 79 and cross the parkway, and traffic that way is horrible. So, but that's the way we went. So I usually like to go up through Connellsville. But anyway.
You say Connellsville?
Connellsville.
Oh, okay.
I'm starting to talk like Merle. Veal. Connellsville.
Okay. All right, well, good. I'm glad y'all made it back and everything went smooth.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, the other day we were talking, and I'm trying to remember how I said this or whatever. I think it was actually before he came down. And I was talking about how I was mentioning about how having Shalonda was good because, you know, living by yourself, you get bored and stuff like that. And I said, you can only stay in your apartment so much and you can only go out so much, you know. And I said, oh, you know about that, don't you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, tell you what. I said, I promise to not drive you crazy. I said we'll have each other now to, you know, do things with. And he says, yeah. And I said, I promise to not drive you crazy if you promise not to drive me crazy. And what did you say? Tell him what you said. He says, oh boy, I'm going to drive you crazy. And I was like, oh, wow.
Okay. Merle, I got that recorded. So anytime you need me to pull that out of the file, brother, you just let me know. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Y'all to get along just fine. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you give it to God, he'll do it. Amen. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, we got a lot of stuff to do, and it's just like, I'm like, okay, Lord, you're the most important. Help us to not get distracted, you know. And we got a lot of time, you know. He's retired now. I don't work, so we got a lot of time to get things in order, and we just need to make him first. So.
Amen. Yeah, he needs to be first on the list, and everything else will fall into place, won't it? Yeah, what the word says. Amen. Praise God. Now you'll have to make a trip down here once a month to give me a haircut.
Well, that's up to him. If I can get him to come down,
well, sure, he has to come with you.
Come, yeah. I mean, like for pot blessing, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Hey, we found out that Alex is going to he's leaving May 7th, and he's flying to Chicago to meet his friend, and then they're flying to Taiwan, and he won't be back here until the 26th of May. So he'll be gone for like 19 days. So, because he's going to go see his grandmother that he's never met before. She's 98, and she's in a nursing home now. So there's a lot going on, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, we're supposed to get him tomorrow for Easter break, and that wasn't meant bunny ears either.
Okay.
That isn't what that meant. But anyway, I'd like to pray about that, you know.
Okay.
About getting Alex. Ooh. Oops.
She dropped a computer.
Yes. Actually, did. It's my tablet, but anyway.
She still dropped it.
Anyway, so I'd like to pray about that. Father, we just ask you, Lord, for to put your love in our hearts for each other, me, Merle, Alex, and just put forgiveness in our hearts, and that we just start fresh and start new, Lord, and just bless us with your joy and your peace, Lord, and help us to just love you first and and to love each other, Lord, and be very patient with each other, Lord. This isn't an easy time, but if we just desire to be obedient to you and die to ourselves, Lord, that and just rest in you, that things will go smoothly, and help all three of us to understand that, Lord, and just put you first in our family. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for doing that for Missy and Merle and Alex. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing love first, and your love. You're the personification of love. You are love. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to put you first rather than themselves, and that they're dying to self, and that the carnal mind is gone because they're believing that you're taking it away from them. That nothing in this world can bother them because they're dead. They're dead to the world. They're dead to the flesh. And we thank you, Father, for doing a mighty work here in Jesus' name. We thank you for your love between Merle and Missy and Alex and you, Lord, because when you're the center of it, Lord, that's love. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
You have anything?
I can't think of anything right now.
I guess that's it for now.
Okay. All right.
Thank you all.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anybody else? What's that, Missy? You didn't mute. Okay. We should have just let her go home. All right. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Jackie? You got something?
Can you hear me?
I can.
My tablet is frozen. I can't see. I mean, I just see a still picture, and I see all black. I can't swipe it, and I can't do anything. So, I don't know. I was going to sign back out and come back in, maybe.
Well, that's up to you. I can hear you, but I can't see you now.
Oh, that's okay. You know what I look like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Was there something you wanted to share, or you just wanted to check it out? Okay. Amen. All right, anyone else? Well, Robert was supposed to come on tonight. He may have had to work and give his testimony tonight. But I would ask that if anybody else would like to give their personal testimony, we kind of laid this aside to do that tonight. So, anybody want to volunteer? Oh, Denny, you're a prime suspect. Anybody want to give a personal testimony? Y'all have heard mine, so I'm not going to give mine. Many, many years ago, in a land far away, oh me, nobody wants to give her testimony, and I'm gonna have to preach, which is fine. You know, I've been reading a book by Andrew Murray, and he puts things in a way that encouraged me, and it teaches me about things. And one of the chapters that I ran across in The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling was the self life, and I thought it very encouraging. And if y'all want me to, I'd like to read, and we can talk about after I get through about this self life. What do y'all think? I'm going to leave it up to y'all, unless y'all want to give your testimony. Okay. He starts off by quoting Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he goes on to say, in the 13th verse, we read that Jesus at Caesarea Philippi asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" When they had answered, he asked him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And in verse 16, Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then in verse 21, we read how Jesus began to tell his disciples of his approaching death. And in verse 22, how Peter began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We often hear about the life of compromise, and the question comes up, what lies at the root of it? Why are so many Christians wasting their lives in terrible bondage to the world instead of living in the manifestation and the privilege and the glory of the child of God? And then perhaps another question comes to us. Why is it that when we see a thing is wrong and strive against it, we cannot conquer it? Why, after praying and vowing 100 times, are we still living a mingled, divided, half-hearted life? To those questions, there's but one answer. Self is the root of the whole trouble. Therefore, if anyone asks me, how can I get rid of this life of compromise? The answer would not be, you must do this or that or the other thing. It would be a new life from above. The life of Christ must take the place of the self life. And then alone can we be conquerors. We always go from the outward to the inward. And let us do so here. Let us consider from these words of the text, the one word, self. Jesus said to Peter, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself," that's his own self, "and take up his cross and follow me." That is the mark of a disciple. That is the secret of the Christian life. Deny self, and all will come out right. Note that Peter was a believer who had been taught by the Holy Spirit. He had given an answer that pleased Christ wonderfully. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Christ saw that the Holy Spirit of the Father had been teaching him, and he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." But note how strong the carnal man still is in Peter. Peter couldn't understand about the glory. "Thou art the Son of God." But when Christ spoke about the cross and the death, he couldn't understand. And he ventured in his self-confidence to say, "Lord, this shall not be unto thee." In other words, "Thou canst not be crucified and die." That's what Peter was thinking. And Christ had to rebuke him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God." And Jesus was saying, "You're talking like a mere carnal man and not as the Spirit of God would teach you." And then he went on to say, "Remember, it is not only I who am to be crucified, but you also. It is not only I who am to die, but you also. If a man would be my disciple, he must deny self. And he must take up his cross and follow me." Let us examine this one word, self. It is only as we learn to understand what self is that we really know what is at the root of all our failure and are prepared to go to Christ for deliverance. Now let's consider, first of all, the nature of this self life. and then denote some of its works, and finally ask the question, how may we be delivered from it? Self is the power with which God has created and endowed every intelligent creature. Self is the very center of a created being. And why did God give the angels or man a self? The object of this self was that we might bring it, ourself, as empty vessels unto God, that he might put into it his life. Now, I'm just going to make a statement right here. We know that before the fall, this was true. That's what God did it for. That now we've, after the fall, we all know what that we've been born in sin. When we're born in sin, and then we have to give up this self-life, right? And the only way we can do that is through Christ's power. All right, let's go on. God gave me the power of self-determination that I might bring this self every day and say, oh God, work in it. I offer it to thee. God wanted a vessel into which he might pour out his divine fullness of beauty, wisdom, and power. And so he created the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the flowers, and the grass, which all show forth the riches of his wisdom, beauty, and goodness. But they do it without knowing that they do. Then God created the angels with a self and a will to see whether they would come and voluntarily yield themselves to him as vessels for him to fill. But alas, they did not all do that. There was one at the head of a great company who began to look upon himself and to think of the wonderful powers with which God had endowed him and to delight in himself. He began to think, must such a being as I always remain dependent on God? He exalted himself, and pride asserted itself in separation from God. At that very moment, he became, instead of an angel in heaven, a devil in hell. Self turned to God is the glory of allowing the Creator to reveal himself in us. Self turned away from God is the very darkness and fire of hell. We all know the terrible result of that action. God created man, and Satan came in the form of a certain serpent and tempted Eve with the thought of becoming as God, having an independent self, knowing good and evil. And while he spoke with her, he breathed into her in those words the very poison and the very pride of hell. His own evil spirit, the very poison of hell, entered humanity. And it is this cursed self that we have inherited from our first parents. That's what I was talking about a while ago. It was that self that ruined and brought destruction upon this world. And all that there has been of sin, of darkness, of wretchedness, and of misery, and all that there will be throughout the countless ages of eternity in hell will be nothing but the reign of self, the curse of self, separating man and turning him away from his God. And if we are to understand fully what Christ is to do for us, in order to become partakers of a full salvation, we must learn to know and to hate and to give up entirely this cursed self. Now, what are the works of self? Well, I could mention many, but let us take the simplest form which we manifest continually, and there's three of them. Self-will, self-confidence, and self-exaltation. Self-will, that's pleasing self, and it's the great sin of man. It is at the root of all compromising with the world, which is the ruin of so many. Men cannot understand why they should not please themselves and do as they will. Numbers of Christians have never gotten hold of the idea that a Christian is a man who is never to seek his own will, but is always to seek the will of God. as a man in whom the very Spirit of Christ lives. Lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. We find Christians pleasing themselves in a thousand ways and yet trying to be happy, good, and useful, and they do not know that at the root of it all is self-will robbing them of the blessing. Christ said to Peter, Peter, deny yourself. But instead of doing that, Peter said, I will deny my Lord and not myself. He never said that in those words, but Christ said to him the last night, thou shalt deny me. And he did. What was the cause? Self-pleasing. He became afraid when the woman servant charged him with belonging to Jesus. And three times he said, I know not this man. I have nothing to do with him. He denied Christ. Missy's unmuted again. He denied Christ. Just think of it. No wonder Peter wept those bitter tears. It was a choice between self, that ugly, cursed self, and Jesus, that beautiful, blessed Son of God. And Peter chose self. No wonder he thought, instead of denying myself, I have denied Jesus. What a choice I have made. No wonder he wept bitterly. Christian, look at your own lives in the light of the words of Jesus. Do you find self-will, self-pleasing? Remember this, every time you please yourself, you deny Jesus. It is one or the other. You must please him only and deny self, or you must please yourself and deny him. If you please yourself, then we'll follow self-confidence. That's the second one. Self-confidence with its related forms, self-trust, self-effort, and self-dependence. What was it that led Peter to deny Jesus? Christ had warned him. Why did he not take this warning? Self-confidence. He was so sure, Lord, I love thee. For 3 years I have followed thee. Lord, I deny that it ever can be. I'm ready to go to prison and to death. And that was simply self-confidence. People have often asked me, why do I fail? I desire so earnestly and pray so fervently to live in God's will. And my answer generally is simply because you trust yourself. But they say, no, I do not. I know I am not good, and I know that God is willing to keep me. I put my trust in Jesus. But I reply, no, my brother, no. If you trusted God in Jesus, you could not fail, but you trust yourself. That was a kicker for me right there. That one statement right there. Let us believe that the cause of every failure in the Christian life is nothing but this. I trust this cursed self instead of trusting Jesus. I trust my own strength instead of the almighty strength of God. And that is why Christ says this self must be denied. Now, the third form of the works of self is self-exaltation. Ah, how much pride and jealousy there is in the Christian world. How much sensitiveness to what men say of us or think of us. How much desire for human praise and pleasing men instead of always living in the presence of God with that one thought. Am I pleasing to him? Christ said, how can you believe who receive honor one of another? Receiving honor of one another renders a life of faith absolutely impossible. This self started from hell. It separated us from God. It is a cursed deceiver that leads us astray from Jesus. Finally, what must we do to get rid of it? Jesus answers this in the words of our text. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Note it well. Excuse me. Time out. Note it well. I must deny myself and take Jesus himself as my life. I must choose. There are two lives, the self life and the Christ life. I must choose one of the two. Follow me, says our Lord. Make me the law of your existence, the rule of your conduct. Give me your whole heart. Follow me, and I will care for all. Oh, friends, it is a solemn exchange to have set before us, to come and seeing the danger of this self with its pride and its wickedness, to cast ourselves before the Son of God, saying, I deny my own life. I take thy life to be mine. And the reason why Christians pray and pray for the Christ life to come into them without result is that the self life is not denied. You ask, how can I get rid of this self life? Remember the parable of the strong man who kept his house until one stronger than he came in and cast him out. And then the place was garnished and swept, but empty. And he came back with seven other spirits worse than himself. It is only Christ himself coming into our lives who can conquer the self life. Remember the Apostle Paul, who had seen the heavenly vision, lest he should exalt himself. Christ sent a thorn in the flesh to humble him. There was a tendency to exalt himself, which was natural, and it would have conquered Paul, but Christ delivered him from it by his faithful care for his loving servant. Jesus Christ is able, by his divine grace, to prevent the power of self from ever asserting itself or gaining the upper hand. Jesus Christ is willing to become the life of the soul. He's willing to teach us so to follow him and to have heart and life set upon him alone, that he shall ever and always be the light of our souls. And then we can say with the Apostle Paul, not I, but Christ liveth in me. The two truths go together. First, not I, then, but Christ liveth in me. Let us look at Peter again. Christ said to him, deny yourself and follow me. Whither had he to follow? Jesus led him even though he failed. And where did he lead him? He led him on to Gethsemane. And there Peter failed, for he slept when he ought to have been awake, watching and praying. He led him on towards Calvary to the place where Peter denied him. Was that Christ leading? Praise God, it was. The Holy Spirit had not yet come in his power. Peter was yet a carnal man, the spirit willing, but not able to conquer the flesh weak. What did Christ do? He led Peter on until he was broken down in utter self-abasement and humbled in the depths of sorrow. Jesus led him on past the grave, through the resurrection, up to Pentecost, praise God. And then the Holy Spirit came, and then the Holy Spirit, Christ, with his divine life, came. Now Peter could say, Christ liveth in me. There's but one way of being delivered from this life of self. We must follow Christ, set our hearts on him, listen to his teachings, give ourselves to him every day, that he may be all to us. And by the power of Christ, the denial of self will be a blessed, unceasing reality. Never for 1 hour do I expect the Christian to reach a stage in which he can say, I have no self to deny. Never for one moment in which he can say, I do not need to deny self. This fellowship with the cross of Christ will be an unceasing denial of self every hour and every minute. Every moment, I'm sorry. By the grace of God, we are to be crucified with Christ Jesus. We are to live with him as those who have been baptized into his death. Think of that. Christ had no sinful self, but he had a self, and that self he actually gave up unto death. In Gethsemane, he said, Father, not my will. That unseeming self he gave up unto death that he might receive it again out of the grave from God, raised up and glorified. Can we expect to go to heaven in any other way than he went? Beware, remember that Christ descended into death and the grave, and it is in the death of self, following Jesus to the uttermost, that the deliverance and the life will come. And now, how should we use this lesson from the Master? The first lesson will be that we should take time to humble ourselves before God at the thought of what this self is in us. Acknowledge that self is the cause for every sin, every shortcoming, all failure, and all that has been dishonoring to God. And say, Lord, this is what I am. And then let us allow Jesus Christ to take entire control of our life in the faith that his life can be ours. Do not think it is an easy thing to get rid of the carnal self. At a consecration meeting, it is easy to make a vow, to offer a prayer, and to perform an act of surrender. But as solemn as the death of Christ was on Calvary, his giving up of his unsinning self-life to God, just as solemn must it be between us and our God, the giving up of self to death. The power of the death of Christ must come to work in us every day. Oh, think what a contrast there is between the self-willed Peter and Jesus giving up his will to God. What a contrast between the self-exaltation of Peter and the deep humility of the Lamb of God, meek and lowly in heart before God and man. What a contrast between the self-confidence of Peter and that deep dependence of Jesus upon the Father when he said, I can do nothing of myself. We are called upon to live the life of Christ, and Christ comes to live his life in us. But one thing must first take place. We must learn to deny and hate this self. As Peter said when he denied Christ, I have nothing to do with him. So we must say, I have nothing to do with self, that Christ Jesus may be all in all. Let us humble ourselves at the thought of what this self has done to us and how it has dishonored Jesus. Let us pray fervently, Lord, by thy light discover this self. We beseech thee to discover it to us. Open our eyes that we may see what it has done and that it is the only hindrance that has been keeping us back. Let us pray that fervently, and then let us wait upon God until we get away from all our religious exercises, all our religious experience, and from all our blessings until we get close to God with this one prayer. Lord God, self changed an archangel into a devil, and self ruined my first parents and brought them out of paradise into darkness and misery. Self has also been the ruin of my life and the cause of every failure. Oh, discover it to me. And then comes the blessed exchange when a man is made willing and able to say, another will live the life for me. Another will live with me. Another will do all for me. Nothing else will do. Deny self. Take up the cross to die with Jesus and follow him only. May he give us the grace to understand, to receive, and to live that Christ-like life. Amen. All right, what y'all think of that? I thought it would provoke a little bit of discussion here.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
I thought that was very good. And it just, you know, really went along with what has really been in my mind. You know, us just celebrating our 50th anniversary. And, you know, it's not something that any two people can do on their own. Because if our focus is not on Christ and it's on ourselves, it's not going to work. Because, you know, we are born to be selfish. That's just how the carnal nature is. And we need to have our focus on God. And it is through that we grow closer together. And I just thought that what you shared really was, you know, really spoke of that. And that's really what I've been thinking about, you know, the last few weeks. And, you know, it just because we know that it's only by his grace and his mercy that we can overcome those selfish things, because we have that tendency to put ourselves first and not the other person. And as we focus on Christ, then we will become more like him, and then the other person will take on more of an importance in our life, I believe. And I just think that was really, I really was blessed by what you shared. Thank you.
Amen. You know, and Christ made the way for us to deny self is through him. He'll do it for us. Amen.
Otherwise, we think we can do it, and he will show us that we can't. He was the one that, you know, marriage was his idea, but it's only with him, you know, at the top. That's the only way that it will work. Otherwise, it will not. And he will show us that it will fail if we don't put him at the top. So that was all I wanted to share.
All right. Thank you. Well, you know, Peter gave us a great instruction in that. He thought, man, I can do this. I can do this. Christ told him, he said, you're going to deny me three times before the night's over. And sure enough, he did. And then that's what broke him. That's what humbled him. And that's what God's going to have to do to us a lot of times, is break us to the point to where we can't do anything but watch him, look at him, keep our eyes focused on him. And he'll do it.
He will show us that we can't do it.
Absolutely, he will. All right. Thank you, Gano.
Uh-huh. Brother Michael?
Yes. Who is that?
This is Pamela and Millie.
Hello. That's what I thought. Hey, Millie.
Hi.
How you doing, girl?
I enjoyed that. That's a great thing you just read.
Oh, you like that? That was good, wasn't it?
Very good.
Yeah. And I, you know what? It opened my eyes to something I had never, until hearing that Andrew Murray passage, realized that behind every failure was self. I had never thought of it like that. But it's got to be true, because Jesus never fails.
No.
And so behind every failure is self. That just hit me like a wall. Anyway, I loved what you read, and it's so
very
much
good
food for thought and prayer and action. And so, yeah, amazing. Thank you, Brother Michael, for reading that passage.
I was thinking about something my brother said. He said the other day, he said, this is the me generation, that there's so many people centered on me, on themselves. And, you know, we see so much more of that now than we did. I mean, I'm almost 70 now. How life has changed. I mean, yes, we're all self-centered, you know, and have to fight that. But it's become even worse now than it was in my childhood. So it's not good.
No, but God's given us a way. He's given us a light at the end of the tunnel. He's told us how to do it.
Amen.
And bless God, all we got to do is just believe, right? And that's what makes this walk with Christ so interesting. It's because we can read these passages and we get little nuggets here and there until we finally put all this together, that self is the problem most of the time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank
we'll
y'all.
We'll mute again now, Brother Michael. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Well, it's good to hear y'all. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to comment on Brother Andrew's self-life there? That whole book is absolutely just all of his stuff. I adore. He died, by the way, in 1917. So this is some early stuff. And he had some insight into the Word of God, like very few men at that time did. And I appreciated him. But
Brother Michael, do you
yes.
mind, what is the title of the book? We did hear Andrew Murray, but we did not hear the title.
It's called The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling. You can get it online. It's in PDF form, or you can order a book from a used bookstore. They're very cheap. Or
okay.
you can listen to an audio at LibriVox.
All right. So you said The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And,
okay,
and
I'm muting you again.
If it were me, I would also get the book Absolute Surrender. That's another one that's just awesome book. But they're good books,
okay,
you know.
Well,
and I would read it along with How Shall We Die?
Oh, right. Yeah. I was just recommending that book to a sister last Sunday. It kind of, it's that subject or that topic, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. said absolute surrender is the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right. Thank you. We'll mute again. Bless you.
All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else want to comment on this self life and denying it? I'm the only one that struggles with that, right? Is that it? Am I the only one that struggles with this self life? I know y'all been struggling with this self life. Now, come on. No, it's been a. Go ahead. Go ahead, Missy. Or Mel, Merle.
Yeah, we're full of self. Well, we want to protect ourselves.
I was just telling Merle, you know, that you brought up How Shall We Die. I've listened to those Bible studies a lot, but I never read the book. I have the book, but I told him, I said that I was going to read that. And I said to him, I said, we can read that together if you want. But anyway.
Well, that is an absolute great book if you want to learn how Christ takes that self life out of it. It's an absolute great book. I mean, it taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. Books like Andrew Murray, they are in very encouraging words, very, very good, solid, biblical, encouraging words. But those books that David has, they got scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that actually teaches you from the Bible how shall we die comes about. Amen. All right, anybody else? What'd you think about that, Denny? You're my buddy. I have to ask you.
Oh, amen. Yeah, that going back to that Romans 6, I know the thing we've been learning is having faith, you know, our faith has increased a lot in the last, you know, year or so because of what we've been reading, you know, many of David's teachings and what we're hearing on here. And I think the biggest thing is that we don't, as Christians, sometimes we don't operate that faith. It is a gift that he's given us to use. And so if you connect the verses that talk about whenever we pray, believe that we have received and we shall, we shall have the thing that we received. And then you connect that, use that verse along with reckoning ourselves dead in Romans 6:11. And it's that, you know, to recognize yourself or to look upon, or you have to see yourself as being dead unto sin because of being in Christ with him on the cross, you know, where when he died, we died in him, and our faith has to travel that distance back, you might say, and trust that this is a real thing. It's not just a nice idea. It is an actual reality where the self man, our natural self that Andrew Murray's talking about there, it died with Christ on his cross. And then, I know I've been explaining how faith works, that we have faith for something. We see the end of what we're asking for. We see it as though we have it, and we're trusting God for it. And then we're waiting for God's power to activate within us and to give us the answer to that thing we're praying for, so that God will give us the power within to overcome that self, you know. And then the works that we have to do and the suffering that we have to do is when we are tempted and or tested along this way, we have to surrender to Christ in the moment and not surrender to self. That way self suffers a death, but Christ gets the victory in us. Christ, there's a resurrection life, and then but there's a death to self and a resurrection life of Christ within us. So if we can overcome a sin, you know, like if maybe a young person or boy might be, you know, he's walking out of the store and there's the candy counter and he sees that bag of M&Ms and, you know, and he think, boy, he looks around, there's no one looking, so he walks by and grabs it, puts it in his pocket, you know, and then he develops a habit like this, you know, of stealing. And within, you know, he gets saved. And then he's back in that store again, and he sees the M&Ms, and he's going to make his move. But then that something inside of him tells him he knows that it's not right anymore. You know, so then he has a choice to make. Is he going to allow self to rule and take those M&Ms, or is he going to allow Christ to rule and walk by and not, you know, so he learns to overcome that temptation. And so every time he does that, he dies, self dies, but Christ lives in him. And so then he forms a new way of life. And, you know, and, but then it reaches a point where he's not even tempted anymore. And the reason he's not even tempted anymore is, but he's dead to self, at least in that area when it comes to stealing M&Ms, he's totally dead to self. Then God will bring forth other, as he manifests or shows us other areas, we go through that same process of, you know, self has to suffer a death that Christ may live. And so you have the death and resurrection happening in your life daily, and that's taking up the cross. But James talks about when does one sin? It's when he is tempted, and it says God doesn't tempt anyone, or he can't be tempted. But we fall into sin when the old nature is tempted to do something, you know, to sin. And then if you give in, then you yield to that, then sin is, you know, sin is conceived. But if self is dead, if self is reckoned dead, even those temptations will fall off because you're not being tempted by that self life. You know, that boy isn't being tempted to steal those M&Ms anymore because he has got the victory over it, so much so that he just, it's just, it's easy for him, you know, to, he can always overcome that temptation. then if he would go back into a habit, sneak back into a habit of stealing again, then what's happening is that he's putting Christ to death within him and allowing self to live, to resurrect. He's reversing that pattern. So as a believer, we have to always, we do not want to crucify Christ again, and that we could get in a habit of living a life like that because you're giving in to sin. And I think the most destructive thing for Christians is wrong teaching. They have a wrong understanding, you know, in the Bible, especially in 1 John, where it talks about if we're sinning, you know, like it says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And there's two verses there at the end of 1 John chapter 1 where it talks about that. But then he starts out chapter 2 and he says, I write this unto you, little children, that ye sin not. When you look back in chapter 1, he's talking to little children there. And that the word for children is there's three or four words that he's using in 1 John that talks about. And one is to be a child of God, technon. I think it's in the Greek. That just means to be an offspring or a child of God. But then he uses in 1 John chapter 2, technion. It's the spelling is a little here. It's got an I in there, technion. And that, when I looked it up in the Strong's, it says a young child or like an infant. Or a young child, and figuratively it's talking about an immature Christian. So John is addressing in 1 John children, new converts in the faith. Then when he gets into chapters 2 and 3, he's talking to children, to young men, and then to fathers. There's like three maturity levels there. And in chapter 3, he wants to show that if we abide in Christ, there is no sin in Christ. Whoever abides in Christ sinneth not. He cannot sin because Christ's seed remains in him. So there's three maturity levels there that he's talking about. But when it comes to that first part about that, well, we all have to sin. And I think that's a, the, you know, a real bad teaching in the church that, wow, we're all sinners and no one can be perfect. And we it's like, well, we have to sin because we got this old sin nature. But that's the part where that our faith has to reckon dead. If our faith, if God, we use that gift that God gives all Christians, that gift of faith, to recognize or to look upon that that old sin nature as actually being dead, died on the cross, then God moves in, and he, when he brings the answer to our faith, because every time there's faith involved, there's that waiting period of waiting for it to be manifested. Eventually, what God moves in, and that self-life that is dead, and you'll recognize that, you know, you can recognize your own self-life is dead. It's not that it can't come back again if you start giving in to, you know, giving in to things, but there is that victory in Christ where the self-life dies, and then so then you're always dealing with things like the boy at the M&Ms. You're always, you know, the self has to die that Christ may live in you. And it's just a walk. And we, Andrew Murray mentioned about denying self and picking up the cross. Well, that's the key, is looking back to that cross and considering it a past tense that we are dead. You know, we died when he died, and that, you know, we are in him. And then that way his life can begin living in us. And our old life is dying off. It's a process. It's an actual fact. It's true now, but then also, it also becomes a process because we have to walk out that truth. That's a truth that we have died already, and that's where we have to use our faith to look upon ourselves as dead, and then you walk it out by overcoming. When you're doing that, you're doing the works of faith. Faith without works is dead. So when you're tempted, that's where it shows your works in faith. You actually are overcoming by, you know, the little boy denying himself and walking by and getting that victory. That's the works of faith, you know, that proves our faith. But so anyways, yeah, that the Andrew Murray's book, that was really, really good, Michael. And thank you, Jesus.
That faith you were talking about reminded me of the verse that David always quotes, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled faith, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So you're right. We have to walk by faith that God's doing that work in us. We look in the mirror every morning. Look at that. There's Jesus. Now, you do it spiritually speaking, not naturally, but you do it spiritually speaking. You understand by me thinking that and walking like Jesus and thinking spiritual thoughts all day long that I'm going to walk that spiritual life. And it's absolutely possible for us to walk a perfect life.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Also, you mentioned the there's actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." You remember Paul was talking about the Corinthian church that had gone, divided itself and all that kind of stuff. But he was talking about two kinds of Christians in that big church. He said, "And our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." There was the spiritual people in there, but as unto carnal. And there were carnal Christians in there too. Those carnal Christians, he told them, he said, I can't give you the meat because you're not able to take it. How many times have you tried to share the deeper revelations of God with somebody and they didn't want to hear it? They couldn't grasp it. They couldn't understand it. And that's because they were still on the milk. They still living a carnal life, and they didn't want to understand the deeper things of God. Okay, that's good. Thank you so much.
So you're saying that the immature Christian is one whose the carnal nature has not been reckoned dead.
Yep.
And so always living a Christian life, dealing with the carnal nature, but in fact, God has given us the gift whereby we can reckon it dead so that we don't have to deal with it as much anymore. I mean, just as long as we're alive, there's going to be some test of our faith or temptations. But if we, that carnal nature should be reckoned dead so that, you know, a dead man cannot sin. So if it can be reckoned dead, then, you know, we can always overcome.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Well, you know, you've got people that's been in the churches for 40 years that hadn't moved an inch off of salvation when they first became a Christian. Those are Christians that are not in the race. I just wanted to tell you that they're not in the race. They're completely out. They're sitting on the sideline watching everybody else, and they don't understand that they have something to do. Well, it's not by works. Well, no, it's by your spiritual works, of course. And that's what they don't understand. They think that works is going out there and doing something about your denying self. No, it's not anything that you can do. It has to be from God. The works that God's looking for is the spiritual works of faith and us believing it and acting on it, confessing it with our mouth. Yeah, I'm looking in that mirror right now. I see Jesus. Glory to God. You know, and I'm going to walk like Jesus the rest of the day. I'm going to take each step that I do just like Jesus did. Yeah. And if you'll do that, I'm telling you, go 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, and one day at a time. And when you do that the next day, you'll do the same. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Go ahead and do what you got to do today. Then we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. It ain't around right now. Tomorrow never comes. You're always in today. You're in present form. You're looking back at the cross, and you're doing what God tells you to do. And that's just believe. Believe that God's working that work in you, right?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Whew. Anybody else? Thank you, Denny. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Willie, what you think about that?
Oh, Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Denny.
I say one more thing. You mentioned some believers being like 40 years old. Well, anyway, the word in 1 John, when it mentions young men, he mentions children, young men, and then fathers. The word used there for young men, it means a youth. And then in the Strong's, and it says under 40 years of age. I thought, under 40 years of age, a youth, a young man, but you could be a Christian for a long time. And so I think he's speaking more about maturity level there, but it says a youth under 40 years of age. Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, Paul was talking to the Galatian church, and he told them that he called them children. He says, children, I'm again in travail for you until, and that's that same word, technion. This means a young infant or a young in the faith. And he says that he's in travail again until Christ be formed in them. And that's what God wants to do. And if we keep overcoming and overcoming and overcoming, then that's what Christ is being formed in us. And you reach a maturity level where you are full grown, or you are, you know, the Christ is living in you. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew. You quoted Philippians 3:5.
Well, I'm having trouble with my internet. Hope you can all hear me. I was just saying that while you were reading that, this death to self that Christ had in Philippians 3:5 on how he emptied himself, I remember reading that not too long ago and how he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. And I just wanted to add that as a man, because he was flesh and blood there too. And even though he was the Son of Man, he was the Son of God. But this is how I feel we have to copy him. And I remember asking the Lord a question: How did Jesus do that, to inform, to follow that? You know, because this is something everyone needs to have, that humility to to love the Lord and come into agreement with him and in all things, and how this should be going on in, not only in your mind, but in your heart all day, you know. And it's hard to get that. Sometimes you get distracted from in your work or deadlines at work and stuff. And the self-life is inner, and that's where it has to be. That's where you would want it manifested and shown, is when you're in public. Anyway, I hope these guys heard that. I'm signing off now.
Yeah, for the most part, that was good. Thank you very much. I wanted to quote another scripture out of Philippians 3, and that is verse 12 out of Philippians 3. Not that I have already attained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. And then he goes on, 13, brethren, I could not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. That's one thing it messes up a lot of people. Man, you don't know all the sin that I've been in, all this kind of junk. Don't make any difference. You forget them things behind you. And stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained by that same mind, let us walk. Praise God. So that's what keep going. Keep walking forward. Keep going forward in this walk that he's got us in, and believing that God taking that sin out of us, taking that self life. Sin ain't nothing but the self personified. That's what it is. That's walking it. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do. No, you ain't got to do nothing but look at Jesus and figuring out what he's got to do for you, what he wants you to do. Man can sit there and tell you, I'm a sinner saved by grace all day long. That ain't going to get you into heaven. The word of God is going to get you into heaven. And it says you got to die to self. And if that's the correct life that he wants us to walk, like we talked about in 2 Corinthians 3:18, is walking by faith to make sure that I'm walking like Jesus wants me to walk. Look, how do we get faith? Can somebody tell me how we get faith? It's by reading the word of God, isn't it? Studying the word of God and getting that word in us to understand how Jesus wants us to walk. Amen. That was good, Willie. Thank you. Andrew. I'm sorry. I was looking at Willie and thinking about Andrew. Oh, my. You have anything to add, Willie?
The only thing I got to add is, you know, just to pray for me about that one, because, you know, the self-life has been a monster on me, you know, and it's just feel like it's been increasing its struggle, you know, day by day. And I'm just like, God, how do I get back to that place where I was like at peace? I mean, it feels, you know, feel like it's trying to work overtime. I'm like, man, you know how you get where it's working so bad? You're like, am I saved? And so that's the only thing I got to add to it. Because, you know, man, you want to talk about a great wrestling against the word, but when I get into the word, I have peace. As soon as I step away from the word, it's like, oh, I want to live. And so just, you know, pray for me, most definitely, you know, because I can't see the direction to step back into, put a squash on this self for life, unless I'm reading the word. Because, you know, it shows up at, you know, seems like it tries to take advantage every second. Whether if I'm at work or outside or, you know, trying to sit home and relax. But mostly just pray for me.
All right. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you that you are working it out in Willie, and you're giving him these tests so he will be able to deny self. We thank you for it, Lord. Just remember this, Willie. This is out of that book, The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling, by Andrew Murray. It says, remember this, every time you please yourself, you deny Jesus. Man, that would just slap me right between the eyes when I read that. I said, oh, my goodness. Glory to God. I got to quit that. And so I quit it by saying, Lord, I'm having trouble with myself, but I know that you can do it in me, and I praise you for it. And I know that when I pray, you're going to do it, because my prayers are answered because I believe. I'm a believer. Amen. Said, I want the everlasting God to come in and take such hold of me that I may be kept in the hollow of his hand all my life. I want him to take such possession of me that every moment he may work all in me. And that's the nature of God that we want in our life, right? We want it just like the Shulamite bride wanted Christ too. She just ran with all she had. Nothing else mattered. She was going for Jesus, going for the King. Praise God. And that's the way God wants us to do. He wants us to be giving it all up to him. We pray in the mornings, Lord, and we get with him in the mornings. We allow that quiet time so we know that God's listening to us. We know that by the Holy Spirit that he's listening. And then we pray and we intercede for whatever it is that we have to, that God's wanting us to intercede for. And one of them is to get rid of that carnal life in each one of us. And we pray for the other people too, but that's the main part. Look, like we talked about earlier, we're put on this earth as Christians to be servants of men, not to lord it over, not to lord it over myself or anything like, lord it over somebody else, but to be servants. And that's a humble walk with Christ, right? It's a humility. That it's a humble attitude, I should say, that God wants us to walk in. And he's teaching us that. I know it, you know, a lot of us have brought up to, you got to pull yourself up on by your bootstraps. You got to do this. You got to do that. You're the only one that can chart your course for you in life and all. It's just the opposite of that in the Christian walk. God's got to do everything for us. And that's the way he wants it. That's the only way he wants it. If we want self to do it, you're denying God. So we got to get rid of self. I want self gone out of me completely.
Well, Michael, another thing, and for Willie or any of us, that if there's a real struggle all the time, we have to understand that if when you search out that word for perfection, as David did, wrote the book on perfection through Christ. God, we can be perfect, and we can walk in perfection. And then what it is Christ living in us and us always yielding to Christ. When we do that, we're walking in perfection. The other words that are used is maturity or full grown or complete. But Paul and the other, and John, all of them, they wrote about us coming to a full-grown man, or coming to maturity, coming to being complete. So it is possible. We have to have that vision, first of all. We have to see the end. We have to see that reality. We have to see, like you said, Christ in the mirror. We have to see that by faith. And hang on to that, what we're seeing by faith, until it actually becomes manifested by God's Spirit working in us. It's his power working in us to bring us to that place. And so we have to see by faith and receive it as we're going through some of these battles. But we have to know that, wait a minute, that is attainable. It's not impossible. You know, we've heard several brothers minister in our area up here a lot, but almost, and several times they said, well, we're all sinners, you know, and None of us can be perfect. And some of them said that, well, there, and these were pastors that were ministering, saying, well, I probably sin more as much as all of you, or more than all. I'm the chief of sinners, you know. And of course, but that's, and you know what, they're, what we're, if we think that way, then we are going to, that's what we're going to receive. That's where our faith is believing. We're believing that that's where it's at. And we're going to have the answer then to our faith. That's what we're having faith for. I've been faith for that I'm a sinner and that I'm going to fail. And that I have to fail because I'm a human. I have this human nature. But that's not what the word really teaches. And even in First Philippians there, he says, as many as are perfect. He mentions some are perfect. They're walking in that perfection. And they're if you walk in the light that you have, you're walking in perfection. You know, and in the Church of Sardis in Revelation 3, it mentions he's after he corrects the church and brings their correction to them. Then he says that, but there are a few in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. But he only mentions a few in that church in Sardis, but he says that they have not defiled their garments. So there, it is possible to walk a walk where we are not defiling our garments, but and we can walk with him in white, and we would be worthy. That would make us worthy of the Lord. And it's, you know, and it's always because it's he's working in us. It's his spirit working in us. We cannot really take credit for it. Like I said, it's not pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps, but it's completely trusting him until he brings that to pass in our life. He will bring it to pass. He will bring that perfection, that maturity, that full grownness. He will bring it to pass. And so that's where our faith, we have to believe. That's where we have to have our faith believe. Ask him to do it and then trust him. And be ready for the test when they come, and when the tests come, recognize yourself as being dead, that Christ is alive in you, and he will cause it to be manifested, because his spirit will be at work in you. Amen. So, amen. But have that vision. It is possible. We can attain to that, and we are supposed to attain to that. That's what, you know, Christ in you. The hope of glory. No longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. You know, we all have used Paul for an example there, but he's really explaining the struggle he went in, probably was in the faith. And we can see maybe even as a mature Christian like that, you know, he was still in a struggle, you know. But then in Galatians, he says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. So he either obtained to it or but it is obtainable. We can reach that level of maturity in Christ to where we're always allowing him to live. So don't get a bad vision of that we can't do it, because then that's where you will have faith in that. I have faith that I can't do it. Then your faith will work negatively against you. Like, so have faith for what his word says, that we can overcome, we can be perfect in Christ, mature, complete, full grown. So, hallelujah.
Yeah, that's good. Praise God. You brought up a point also. Perfection to the Lord is different than what we think perfection is. I can look at Matt and say, Matt's messing up big time. Well, Matt's doing all he knows to do in Christ. As far as God's concerned, Matt is perfect. He's doing everything he knows to do. But, you know, it don't make any difference what man tells you you are. You're walking all you know to do in Christ. You're doing everything that you know to do. You're counted as righteous in Christ's eyes. And that's the great salvation message, is that faith keeps us going in the right direction. I believe that God is working in my life. It don't make any difference what you think about my walk. I don't care. It's what God thinks that I care about. And that's the way our attitude ought to be. Somebody might come up and say, man, you doing this, you doing that, and you doing that. What are you talking about? God told me I was perfect because I'm doing everything I know to do in Christ. If I don't know about it, it's not a sin. But when I find out in the Word of God that it is a sin, then I repent, which means to change, get back on the road and go on, you know. Forget about that. Overcome that sin. And you don't overcome it. It's Christ in you that overcomes it. That's why it's just such a great message. It's easy to allow Christ to do it. Now, some of you, I know I've been through it too. Look, I've been through the ringer. Well, we all have at times. And we think, well, where in the world is God? You know, well, God's sitting back and saying, well, watch this. Watch my boy. He's going to do it. He's going to overcome because he's got my son in him. He's got my son that got the power. Watch him. Now, he might struggle for a little bit, but he's going to figure it out. He's going to go around that mountain one more time, but this time he's going to get it. Praise God. And that's what he wants us to do. As long as we're still in the race, when you get outside the race and you're just sitting there watching everything go by, you're not in the race. You ain't going nowhere. You might think that you're going to get changed on the way up. That ain't what the Word says. We got to walk that walk out right now. Praise God. I laugh because all of y'all know what I'm talking about. You know that it's a continual walk, a progressive walk, our salvation is. In fact, there's a book David's got out. It's called Salvation, Instant and Progressive. We're instantly saved in the Spirit, but we walk out our soul salvation daily, right? We walk it out with fear and trembling. Then a soul has to get saved. And then at the last, when we're zapped out of here with God, at the end of tribulation, not at the beginning, that's when the body's going to be changed, praise God. And that's when we'll be perfect before Christ. When we go up to see him, he's going to say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Don't let him say something else. The other thing, don't get to that point. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Go ahead, Wade.
Yesterday, I was being driven by a friend, and he raised the window on my hand and caught my hand in the window, and I screamed a little bit, and I've been trying by faith have it healed, and I was wondering why it wasn't working. You know, I was trying to say in Jesus' name, heal me, and it wasn't working. And while Denny was talking, I realized what my problem was. I was still allowing self to exist. I said I reckon myself dead to sin, but I was reckoning myself not dead to anything else. And so when Denny said what he said about reckon yourself dead, period. You know, that's where he finished it. Reckon yourself dead, you know, I figured, you know, reckoning was the problem, you know, and when I prayed after Denny talked, my hand, I had hurt that particular hand, my right hand, 8 years ago, and it was tingling for about 6 years, and then it went away. When I got the injury yesterday, the tingling came back, the damaged nerve. But since I've been praying, wrecking myself dead, and just believing that Jesus is healing me, the pain is gone, the tingling is gone, the swelling is gone. I'm believing it's healed permanently. There's just the slightest tingle to it, and I want that to go so bad, but I got to reckon myself dead to my desires and just let the Lord minister through me to me. And I never thought about that too much, you know, about God ministering to us through us. And just wanted to say thank you for bringing the Word for us, everybody bringing the Word for us. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for your faith that you've placed in Wade. Praise God. Thank you, Father. All right, that's what we do. We confess it to men that we're healed in Jesus' name. And don't go back on it. Endure in your faith to the end. End of what? Well, until it's done. Until it's done. We look back at the cross. We don't look forward. You look forward, that's hope. We look back. It's already done. That's faith. Denny talked about that earlier. Praise God. All right. Anybody else want to venture a little something here on this great self-life that God's taken away from us. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I just think it's amazing, you know, what he does in each and every one of us. It was said that, you know, if God showed you the whole picture from beginning, from when you just start until you know, end, you would just scream and run away, you know. It's just, you know, it's way too much for someone to bear. But, you know, the way he does it, a little here, you know, he shows you a little bit here and a little bit there just to help take that out of you and perfect you, a little here and a little there. It's amazing. Just praise him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, it is. We do it step by step, and that's the way God has it planned. When those trials come up on us, just like you said, if we looked at our life and we said, I can't go that route. God just brings it to us a little bit at a time. He doesn't put it on us any more than we can take. Sometimes you think like it is. Sometimes, like me, I've murmured, you know, well, Lord, what'd you do this for? How come you did this? How come you did that? When in fact, he just sitting up there grinning and said, because I'm trying to perfect you, Michael. I'm just trying to perfect you, boy. And that's what he does. When all these circumstances come around us, that ain't for one thing, and that's to mature us in him. That's what it's for. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. Yeah, that's twice you did that today, but go ahead.
No, this is the first time I've been online. It's talking. Anyway, I was thinking, you know, all the different testimonies and everything. I was thinking about my life and my past and how God has walked me through that. You know, he's been the one that's taken this away and taken that away and turned me from this or that and the other. And of course, he gets all the glory, but you look back and it's like so totally amazing. You know, I've shared some of my testimony over the years. And anyway, I just want to give God the glory. He's an amazing God. Amen.
Well, that's the thing about it, Kurt. You know, some of us can look back, or maybe all of us can look back on our life and see where we started and where we are now. And it's awesome what the work that God's done in us. You know, I came here in Tennessee, you know, man, full of pride, full of arrogance, full of jerkified stuff, you know, and found out real quick I didn't know nothing. You know, God jerked me around, set me down, shut me down, and made me listen to him for a while. And he breaks you, doesn't he? He breaks you, and then you start looking at Jesus. And that's the great thing about this life. Those who can, look, those who can take correction are those that God's looking for. It's those that don't take correction that he can't use, because how are you going to use somebody that's not going to listen? Yeah. And that's more, I see that so often. People won't take correction, you know, even when they're in moral sin, won't take correction. They just get up and leave because they can't handle it. The demons in them won't allow them to handle it. The flesh actually is what it is. Like we talked about, it's the carnal life. When you're in carnal life, as Andrew was talking about, Murray was talking about, you're denying Jesus. He says, when you're in sin, you're outside the body, right? What's that body? What's the body? That's Jesus. So what he said goes along scripturally with what the word says. So praise God. And that's what opened my eyes, just like Pam was talking about earlier. You know, when we understand that self is sin to God, then we can be taught. Then we can walk out. In a better way, because I don't want to hurt God, y'all. I don't want to hurt him in any kind of way, form, or fashion at all. And I want him to be pleasing to me because I want my prayers answered. I want the blessings of God running all over me. Glory to God. That's what I want. And God's doing it. You know what the biggest blessing to God would be for me? Is to have him walking with me every day and telling me every step to take. That's what I'm striving for. I want God to show me and tell me. You know, I got a little time left. I met this guy one time. This pastor friend of mine came up to me. He was a good friend. He was a musician. He came up to me and said, "Man, you want to go meet this guy?" He said, "He talks to angels all the time. He said, he's in the spirit realm all the time. He said, he'll just be talking to you, and then he'll be looking over to the side, and he'll shake his head, yeah, or something like that, to some angel." I said, "Get out of here." He said, "Yeah." He said, "They have invited a few of us to go to dinner. You want to go to dinner?" I said, "Yeah, I got to see this character." You know, carnal Christian that I was, I wanted to see somebody that knew something that I didn't know, and that was talking to angels, talking to Jesus in the spiritual realm. And so we went up, and that wasn't what was happening. That wasn't what he was doing. He was just teaching how shall we die. That's what he was doing, you know. It wasn't that he was talking to the angels or anything like that. He was talking to Jesus. That's what he was doing. Then I got a lot out of it. Praise God. All right, anybody else? That didn't make a lot of sense to y'all, but it did to me because I remember the conversation that me and Larry had. Go ahead, Matt. Oh, Marlon, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to share this. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "Therefore we faint not. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." And it's really a day-by-day thing. We choose each day. God's Word says we choose each day who we're going to serve, whether we serve him or self or man. And I like that example that David used to use. Heard him say that several times about the black dog and the white dog. The one that you feed the most is the one that's going to get the strongest, and that's how it is with our spiritual man. We don't do that each day, and I know you just see so many people who don't do that each day, and they just really they don't have any strength, God's strength. They don't have any of God's word in them. They just kind of go on each day hoping something good's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's where a lot of them are. Praise the Lord. That's why I enjoy, when I started reading these David's books on how shall we die, like then he was talking about perfection through Christ and the holiness walk and all of those books and things that he wrote on holiness and perfection. It just brought a realization to me, you know, that, hey, the life I've been living is totally wrong, and it kind of turned me around, and I started believing, and God started knocking that flesh off of me. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to knock all that flesh off. And just like you was talking about, it's a day-to-day thing. It's not something I have to look forward to 5 years down the road. I can look forward today to walking that life. I had a guy tell me one time, y'all heard me talk about this, it was a preacher. He said, "You can't walk from here to the door and not sin." I said, "Watch this." And I got up, walked to the door, and walked back. I said, "I didn't sin. I didn't have an evil thought in my mind." Well, I did. I had a thought in my mind. I'm fixing to get him. But anyway, that's the thought that a lot of people have, is that in the Christian world, is that we can't go without sinning. You can, too, because the Word says you can. Sin to God is not the same type of thing that we think it is. If we're doing everything we know to do, like we talked about a while ago, you're walking that perfect life. Praise God. It's when we don't repent after finding out from God's word that we are doing wrong in this certain area, then you're supposed to repent, which means change, and go ahead and quit doing it. And that we get in trouble, we don't quit doing it. Amen. All right, anybody else? It's actually a once you start understanding that it's God working it in you, and all you have to do is believe and stay in the Word. You know, staying in the Word is critical. Praying and believing. Staying in the Word is critical, because that staying in the Word builds your faith up. And in the Word, you could be studying a Bible study, you know, or anything like that. That's staying in the Word if you're doing the right things, you know. The right Bible studies. There are the wrong Bible studies, and there's right Bible studies. There's Bible studies that use the Word of God, and there's Bible studies that twist the Word of God. So you have to have that discernment. Praise God. Hey, Princess. Praise the Lord. Awesome. All right. Anybody else got anything I'd like to share? Jeremy, how you doing? He must be away. All right. Anybody got something they'd like to share or pray about before we close out here? Well, Father, I just praise you, Lord. I just want to thank you for teaching us how to walk this carnal life out of our life and that spiritual life into our life, Lord. We want you in it. We want you to take hold. We want you to be guiding us every step of the way. We won't even want you speaking what you want us to speak, Father. We want to be as close to you as we can get. I want to be so close to you, Lord, that if I die, I won't even have to take a step. I'll just be right there with you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in all of us. I thank you, Father, that you're showing us how to walk this walk out. I thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us that we look in the mirror and we see Jesus every day. And we have you on our minds every day. We have you on our minds every hour, every minute, every second, because we want to please you, Father. Make that evident in my life and make it evident in these people's lives as well, Lord, that it's you that matters. It's you that's going to get the glory, not me. I'm nothing. I'm a worm. We're nothing but worms down here. But the Christ in us is the King. And that's the King in us. And we praise you, Father, that you're placing that in us. You're placing that want to in us. You're placing that hunger in us to want to do like the Shulamite bride and run after you with all our hearts. Forget about all the carnal things in life. The only thing we want, Lord, is you. We don't want anything else. We want you, nothing but you. And I thank you, Lord, that that's what you're giving us. You're going to give us that because of our faith. And you know what's awesome about that, Lord, is that you give us the faith to begin with. You hand us the faith to begin with. And all we have to do is just believe. And we believe, Lord. I just trust that everybody here is getting this message tonight, is that the carnal man is denying Jesus, but the spiritual man is glorifying Jesus. And we praise you for it, Lord, for the work that's done in all of us. Lord, sometimes we stumble, and we thank you for your grace that picks us up, puts us back on, gives us a pat on the back, and says, you got it, brother. Said, I'm here with you because you've done it to me many times, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we stumble two or three times before we get it right. And, you know, your grace far exceeds anything that our carnal minds can even understand. And I love it, Lord. I thank you for it, because that grace is what keeps us going, praise God. And I praise you for it. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you fill each one here and within the sound of my voice throughout the week, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, that overcoming power, Lord, to overcome this wilderness walk that you've got us in, and to bring us into that promised land of belief and faith. And I praise you for it, Lord. Be with us tonight as we fall asleep, Lord, and give us a good night's sleep. Give us dreams of you and what you want us to do in the days to come. Lord, I ask that you give our president great discernment, great wisdom, and great understanding into what has to be done. And Father, I ask that you place it in him to drain the swamp up there, to get rid of all the people that want to destroy this country. And I praise you, Lord, that that's what you're doing. And Lord, the country is not an idol to us. It's just where we live, Lord. And we'd like to have peace during the first, during tribulation out of this country, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that that's what you had asked us to pray in times past. And I believe that's what you're doing, Lord. And I thank you for answering our prayers, Lord. You've answered so many prayers for us, Lord. And I thank you for that. Guide us, direct us, lead us, show us, set a watch before our lips to speak only as you would have us to speak, Lord. And I thank you for it. Bless everybody out there, Lord, with your love and your promises, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good work. Good night, everybody. Praise God.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.